You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast episode 531.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi. How are you, Kevin?
Fine. It's a beautiful summer Saturday. It looks gorgeous outside. I'm inside. I'm podcasting.
I stepped outside for a little bit. I can verify that it is gorgeous.
Okay. So yeah, I gotta maybe creep out the door when I can. I have another podcast after this one.
You are just living the podcast dream.
If the dream is not being able to go outside, I am indeed living the dream. No, we got the Flopcast right now. We're doing Earth Station DCU Classics right after this, and then maybe I'll get out the door. But for now, we are podcasting, but that's good. I've got coffee. I'm ready to go.
And I've got some fun for you.
You've got something for me? Well, let's do that. Is this National Whatever Day?
It is. It's National Whatever Day and a little something more.
Well, let's do that then. National Whatever Day.
I have prepared for you a mashup of two of our Flopcast segments. You know, speaking of being stuck in the house, how do you feel, Kevin, about trapped in the house, doing whatever?
Yeah, right.
All of the matches for Stuck in the House are either celebrities having a birthday or July events. So you ready for this, or should I explain a little more?
I'll figure it out. Let's proceed.
I'm thinking you'll figure this out as we go. So it happens that July is National Parks and Recreation Month. We talk about parks and recreation on the show because of Amy Poehler and her character, Leslie Knope.
Yes, love the show. I still watch the show. I've been watching it along with, there's a podcast, Parks and Recollection. They're reviewing each episode, so the mayor and I are rewatching Parks and Recreation along with that.
That's interesting because Leslie Knope here is going to be going head to head with another TV character that is starting a new podcast that is rewatching all of the episodes from their show. It's starting this week. So you get to either be trapped in the house with Leslie Knope because it's Parks and Recreation Month, but it's also National Roadside Traffic Safety Awareness Month. So you get to be trapped in the house with Leslie Knope, constantly providing you with PSAs about roadside traffic safety. Or you get to be trapped in the house with Lex Luthor. Now, let me explain. Michael Rosenbaum, who plays Lex Luthor on Smallville.
Yes.
He has a 50th birthday this week on July 11th. He's also starting a podcast where he and Tom Welling from Smallville are going to be rewatching all the Smallville episodes. It starts this week. It's going to be called Talkville.
Yes, I think I heard something about that.
So here it is. It's Lex Luthor on the occasion of getting ready for kindergarten month. So the other option is being trapped in the house with Lex Luthor on Zoom, getting kids ready for kindergarten.
Could we start this over but make it more complicated this time?
I've got a spreadsheet that for this.
My head hurts. All right, Leslie Knope, that's intense. Just forget the roadside, whatever. Just being trapped with Leslie Knope would be difficult.
Yeah, that would be intense. She's an overachiever. She's endlessly optimistic. And now she's constantly providing you with PSAs about traffic safety.
I feel like it would be more fun to be trapped with Lex Luthor than Leslie Knope. If we're talking Michael Rosenbaum's Lex Luthor from Smallville, that's not to say Lex is the better person. However, the other layer that you've added, that's where I'm going to flip back the other way, because I'd rather just endure a bunch of traffic PSAs than deal with children. You know how I feel about children.
So you got the answer correct, Kevin. It was really, really hard, but you got it. Yes, there's a right answer for all of these.
I forgot the way the Trapped in the House segment worked that, yes, there was a definitive correct answer. I forgot that part. Okay, I got it right.
All you
right.
did.
Well, that's a huge relief.
You're off to a great start here.
A start? Is there? I thought we were done. Is there more?
Yeah, I have several matches for you.
Several?
I do.
Okay.
So turning 75 on July 12th is Wilco Johnson. Maybe not a name that you know.
I don't know who that is.
But you know Game of Thrones. He plays the mute executioner, Sir Ilan Payne.
Okay, I don't remember that guy. There's 5,000 people in the cast of Game of Thrones, and I can remember about four of them. But I did see the show. I must have seen this guy.
Yes.
So happy birthday.
Well, you'll know if you've seen him. Because he's only known on the show for executing people and having a creepy, sinister stare. And then you have Harrison Ford, who's turning 80 on July 13th.
Yeah, wow.
We know him and love him as Han Solo and Indiana Jones.
Sure.
You probably don't know him as well from The Secret Life of Pets 2 as a dog named Rooster.
That's correct. I do not.
Oh, but I do. And it inspires this matchup. So would you rather be trapped in the house with a mute executioner who is giving you a creepy stare at all times, or Harrison Ford training dogs not to swipe deli sandwiches on what is also National Deli Sandwich Month?
All right, this is an easy one. I want a creepy executioner staring at me.
And you're right again.
Yes, of course. That'd be fun. I'd be completely fine with that. I'm thinking about bringing in a guy to do that here at the studio anyway.
Yeah, this was an easy win. So you chose wisely. See, I made this hard, but you're really good at
it. Yeah, just like at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I chose wisely. What's up next?
Tom Kenny. He's turning 60 on July 13th. We know him as SpongeBob SquarePants, or the voice thereof. And also, we happen to know him from Tom Kenny and the High Seas.
Yes, I've seen his band, Tom Kenny and the High Seas, perform live. They were quite fun.
Yes, very, very good. Going head-to-head here with Beth Ostrowski-Stern, who's turning 50 on July 15th. We are talking about the model and the wife of Howard Stern.
Yes, I know that name. I remember when Howard remarried Beth, yes.
She's also, for the past several years, been the host of the Kitten Bowl, which runs at the same time as the Super Bowl. It's kind of like the Puppy Bowl, except with kittens. She also, in all three of her homes, has foster rooms for cats. Like, she's very passionate about, yeah, this is where you start getting concerned, I'm sure. I think she's facilitated about 1,000 adoptions.
Oh, poor Howard. Howard Stern has to put up with 1,000 cats now.
So would you rather be trapped in the house? She's not just passionate about cats and finding cats home. She's also passionate about...
Oh, yeah. She has gophers.
She might.
Sure. There's badgers. She's got everything.
She's got a dog training book. And it so happens that July is National Doghouse Repairs Month. So would you rather be trapped in the house with Beth Ostrowski-Stern, endlessly building dog houses?
Yeah. Are the cats there too, plus 1,000 cats?
I'm going to spare you from the cats.
All right.
Because I already made a needlessly complicated game, and I don't want you to hate me any more than you already do.
All right. Howard Stern's wife is building dog houses. What was my other option?
Tom Kenny.
Right.
On National Blueberry Month, singing with his band about blueberries.
Okay.
Now, I got to mention, with Tom Kenny, it doesn't quiet down after all hours. It is loud at all times, high energy, good songs, but they're all about blueberries.
Are these original compositions about blueberries, or is it all like all Fats Domino covers? All right, if there's no actual animals on site, I think this is an easy one. Yeah, I might get tired of SpongeBob singing blueberry songs. And so, yeah, let's just hang out with Beth Stern while she builds a doghouse. Who cares?
And with a good cause, you're right.
I'm right again. Okay.
Yes.
I'm so good at this game that I still don't completely understand what it is and why we're doing it. Last round, let's go.
Yeah. I threw you in the deep end. Little did I know you had a jet ski.
Yeah.
All right. Last round. Triple header.
Oh, no.
You have your choice now of being trapped in the house with either Stuart Copeland, who turned 70 on July 16th.
That's Police drummer Stuart Copeland?
Yes.
Okay.
Or David Hasselhoff, who turned 70 on July 17th.
Okay.
Or Gail Garnett, who turns 80 on July 17th. Now, do you know who Gail Garnett is?
I don't know who that is.
There was this Grammy-winning song in the middle of the 1960s called We'll Sing in the Sunshine. So Gail Garnett, she's originally from New Zealand. She's a Canadian singer, but she rose to prominence in the mid-60s with this. You'd know it.
Yeah.
Now, here is where things get a little bit weird. You can be trapped in the house with Stuart Copeland, who for National Culinary Arts Month is filming a percussion-driven opera cooking show. I don't know if you know this, but he wrote an opera called Electric Saint. It's all about Nikola Tesla. So, trapped in the house with Stuart Copeland, filming a percussion-driven opera cooking show.
Right.
David Hasselhoff, who just, like, you know what he's been doing since 2020, since we've all been trapped in the house, he released a heavy metal song called Through the Night. And it's National Horseradish Month, so you could be stuck in the house with David Hasselhoff on National Horseradish Month, writing heavy metal horseradish songs. Or Gail Garnett, who's turning 80, on National Ice Cream Month, singing to you and feeding you ice cream, but nothing else. How do you choose? So many great options.
Yeah. I feel like I just want to avoid all the noise. Like, I'm like the Grinch. So.
Well, that makes it hard when you get three different musicians.
Yeah, but one of them's an old lady that's just dishing out ice cream all day.
Good point.
That's how I'm going.
Well, I didn't want to be leading, but you totally got it. Gail Garnett! 4 for 4, Kevin. Good job.
See that?
You are the master of Trapped in the House.
I've never been more proud or confused. All right, that was Whatever Day mashed up with Trapped in the House. We did it.
We did.
That was exhausting. We were playing a game, you and I, just the other night.
We were. I think it's why I'm in a game-playing mood.
Well, yeah, I get that. We were on the American Sci-Fi Classics track doing one of their online panels again. We've both done a few of these over the last couple of years. And this is a rare occasion where we were both there together and we were playing a game. We were there to play Remote Control. So this is the Dragon Con American Sci-Fi Classics track, which I've been working with these folks for many years down at Dragon Con, but now they also do online panels throughout the whole year. And the concept this time was we're just going to play Remote Control, the old MTV game show Remote Control. So Joe, Classics Track co-director Joe, has the Remote Control board game, which I didn't know there was a Remote Control board game, but evidently there's a home game version of Remote Control. So that's what we were working from.
Look long enough on eBay and you can find anything.
I guess. Joe was hosting the show. Joe was Ken Ober from back on the old MTV show. Joe was there. Gary was there, the other co-director of the track. Gary was in the Colin Quinn position, essentially, sidekick.
It wouldn't have been the same without Colin Quinn.
Hanging out, making sarcastic comments. And then for the players, it was me. It was you. It was Tom. And I know Tom from doing these panels with him. And then Chris, our friend Chris from Sci-Fi Explosion. Sci-Fi Explosion is his Twitch show in which he puts together these amazing packages of weird, obscure videos of the past. They're really fun. I am a fan, and I've known Chris for a few years now, and actually we are working on something with Chris for the Flopcast, so you might be hearing more from Chris right around here very soon. But those were the players. And we're not going to go into details about what happened when we played Remote Control the other night, because everybody can go watch it. Go watch it for yourself.
As well you should.
It's on YouTube now. We will have a link to it.
There was some stiff competition for the top spot.
Crazy fun evening of game show silliness. And so I've been thinking about Remote Control, about the MTV show Remote Control for the last couple of days, obviously. And I have not actually seen it. I'm sure you can see it online. It must be kicking around.
Yeah, I've been watching some old episodes on
YouTube.
You have? Because okay. It made me nostalgic.
I'll have to go back and actually watch some now. I've played it. Now I should go watch it. I have not seen Remote Control in 30 years. But I remember it well because I was a regular viewer back in the day. Do you remember watching Remote Control?
Now, the only way I could watch Remote Control was if I snuck down into the basement with the older kids that were watching it, because otherwise I was not allowed to watch MTV.
That's the perfect place to watch Remote Control because it was set in the basement. That was the concept of the show, was you're in Ken Ober's basement, which he had transformed into the set of a game show.
With the Pez dispenser with the head of Bob Eubanks. But yeah, I sat there and I would sneak down and watch it, and I would just wait for my recliner to go backwards throughout the entire show. Because that was the great fun, was watching people get like pulled back through the wall. All the other TV shows, like, you know, Jeopardy, the subject matter was not really anything that I knew about. And then along comes Remote Control, and it's all about music and TV and movies. And I'm like, oh, I know the answers to these ones.
Well, yeah, the whole game was just drenched in pop culture of the 80s and previously. It was such a wacky show. It was surprisingly smart and funny and weird in a way that you wouldn't expect it to be. Like, they really made something special.
If it's fun to look back at what they were giving away for prizes for the winners back then. You win a CD of Tone Loc.
Oh, that sounds pretty good. Do you remember, because now you've seen episodes recently, that any of the shows that you saw recently, do you remember the MTV LaRun skate bike?
Yes.
It was like this. It looked like a unicycle kind of, but it wasn't. It was this strange thing that you ride on, and it was called the LaRun skate bike.
I'm kind of sad that I never saw anyone out on one in public.
Nobody ever saw any of these things anywhere except on MTV, where they were giving them away. And it never really took off as a thing, far as I can tell.
But man, was it fun to watch just how excited they were to be able to give away a telephone with an answering machine built in.
That sounds pretty good, too. I would like one of those. But it was Ken Ober as your host, and he was good, funny guy. Colin was the sidekick, just lurking around, making sarcastic comments, making fun of the players. I'd never seen Colin Quinn before. This was, I think, for most people, our first time seeing Colin, who then went on to, Saturday Night Live and known as a stand-up comedian and actor and whatnot these days. But this is where a lot of people got their start on Remote Control. Adam Sandler, certainly.
Mm.
Adam did a couple of characters, at least. They did a few. I remember Adam Sandler did Stickpin Quinn, the trivia delinquent. And he did a bunch of silly characters like that. I'd never seen him before. I didn't even know his name. It was very shortly after that he joined Saturday Night Live. Because I remember seeing him on SNL and thinking, oh, that's the guy from Remote Control. But Dennis Leary was there also. Dennis was lurking around. There'd be a girl as well. And they cycled through a few, like there'd be a lady co-host.
Yeah, like Kari or something.
Kari was the one that I think is best remembered. They started with, it was a girl named Marisol. She was there at first. And then they brought in Kari. And Kari was there the longest, I think. People remember Kari were. And Kari went on to, she still does a lot of acting. She's done a lot of cartoon voices for like some DC cartoons and stuff recently. But she made all through the 90s, I think. She was cranking out a lot of horror movies, kind of B movies, that kind of thing. And there were a couple of girls after Kari. So it was such super talented people were somehow gathered to make this ridiculous MTV game show. The categories got so goofy and kind of weirdly TV themed. They were just general TV and movie and music trivia, of course. But then they did things like Brady Physics was a category. And it would be a physics question that would somehow involve the Brady Bunch. They had a category about like biology, anatomy kind of questions, but it was called Inside Tina Yothers. Yeah, it'd be like a science anatomy question, but they would specifically use Family Ties actress Tina Yothers.
Oh, wow.
It'd be like a question about her internal organs or something. Inside Tina. They had a category at first called Dead or Alive, which was simply they'd yell out the name of a celebrity and you just had to say if the person was dead or alive. Then as the show went along, they changed it to Dead or Canadian.
Yep.
And Ken would make the comment, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference.
I heard that Weird Al was also on the show once.
I remember seeing Weird Al. I think he did some cameo appearances as part of the game, but then I remember Al playing the game because they did some celebrity editions. I remember Al playing with LL Cool J, and I don't remember who the third celebrity was, but I remember that Al did very well. I believe he was the final winner, and he was just...
Can't imagine why.
Yeah, Al was... That was a perfect show for Weird Al. Yes, he did quite well. Well, anyway, we got to play, finally. 30 years ago, we could only watch on MTV.
And I won't give it away, but I'm just going to say I got some points for some pretty strange things.
I don't even quite remember what happened the other night. It's all a blur. I'm going to have to go on YouTube and watch you and me play some remote control.
Get ready to see a lot of horrified facial expressions on me.
I look forward to that. So yeah, we'll have the link to the YouTube version of remote control that we just played.
Boy, did Joe make that fun. Oh, that was a good time. And Gary, too.
Thanks to Joe and Gary, of course, as always, for including us in the classics track Silliness. More of that on the way, by the way, soon. I think we'll have some more classics track stuff to talk about. And, of course, we are barreling towards Dragon Con at this point, less than 2 months away. So I am getting ready for Dragon Con as we speak. So we'll have lots more goofy stuff going on with those guys down south. Labor Day weekend. Join us there if you can. The other thing I had to plug today was the Batcave podcast. Cornflake, you recall that for the last several years, John and I over on the Batcave podcast have been reviewing each episode of Electra Woman and Dyna Girl.
Yeah, there were not many episodes of this show, but this has been a long time project.
They made 8 episodes, and we've slowly been reviewing each one. The end is in sight. This was episode 6, I believe, of 8 that just came out. This was Electra Woman and Dyna Girl versus the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh looks almost exactly like Steve Martin in his King Tut costume.
That's perfect.
It's eerily similar. Although the Electra Woman Pharaoh came first. This was a couple of years before Steve Martin did it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. fun show with John, as always, and we will have a link to that as well. You want to hear us break down a bizarre Saturday morning show from way back in the 70s? But for this show, Cornflake, I think that's about all we have.
I think that's more than enough.
That's plenty. We're just plugging other shows. We played a weird game, then we talked about playing another weird game on another show the other night.
Well, I'd say we're in our element then.
Yeah, it's fine. You know what? Let's just get out of here.
Go enjoy some of that nice weather out there today. We've got flopcast.net as our very own website. You can find show notes there. You can also find us on facebook.com/flopcast. We're on Twitter. Our handle is @flopcast. And we're on Instagram, @_flopcast. We'd love to ask you a huge favor. If you would, please go on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and or a review. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Sponge Awareness Foundation, we were primarily known for working with Stuart Copeland and Tom Kenny and what's-her-name from the 60s, just doing songs about blueberries, right? That was Sponge Awareness.
That's what I loved about you.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty horrifying. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for the Flopcast. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us again for a very silly little Saturday show. And of course, please be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and blueberries.
Drew Leiter here. Wish you could keep up on DC Comics, but don't have the time or the money? Not a problem. Join Cletus Jacobs and I as we bring you recaps and commentary on DC Comics, television, movies, and more, whether they are good or not. The Earth Station DCU podcast comes out weekly and is part of the ESO Network.
Hey, Cornflake, it's the secret after show.
Oh, look at that.
Want to play a game?
You have a game for the secret after show? What an amazing surprise.
It's all games all the time. Well, you know, I was poking around the studio and I found, this might be a disaster, but I have a game here. It's like an 80s trivia game. I've never played it. And it's just a bunch of trivia questions. It's called the We Love 80s Trivia Box. And it's just a box full of cards with trivia questions on them.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, this could be a huge mistake, but it's the after show, so who cares?
Can't be any worse than the game that I came up with.
That's a good point. All the pressure's off for the after show. I'm just going to pull one of these cards out at random and see what we got. I will ask you a question. Oh, this should be a super simple question for Cornflake. I would not know this answer, but I'll bet you do, because the card I pulled out says, what was the 1987 debut album by the folk duo Indigo Girls? It's multiple choice. Do you need the choices or do you just know it?
Please give me the choices.
Choices are Rites of Passage, Carnival, Strange Fire. Am I about to stump you on an Indigo Girls question? This is shocking.
I learned about the Indigo Girls all at once. I was not following them when they first came out, but was it Strange Fire?
You are correct. It is Strange Fire.
That's funny. I'm so glad you gave me the multiple choice answers because I almost answered Come On, Get Social, which is an album of theirs that came out later. So thank you for saving my butt.
I thought you would know that automatically. I'm surprised, but you did it. You pulled it out. You want to keep going? Do you want one more?
Yeah, you got another one for me?
I've got a giant box of these, so sure.
Well, we got to keep this short because this is the after show. We don't want people to find it, but if you've got another one, we can blast through it.
Let's keep going until you miss one.
Okay.
This will either be really short or the longest after show ever. Who was new wave band Duran Duran named after? One of the guy's dogs? A character in Barbarella? Or fighter Roberto Duran?
Character in Barbarella.
That's correct. Oh no, we gotta keep going. See, now I'm just hoping for you to miss one so that we can stop.
Oh, you can pretty much count on it, Kevin. You know me.
In I Don't Like Mondays by Boomtown Rats, what is kept so clean? So you have to know the lyrics to this song. The options are the telex machine, the fax machine, the coffee machine.
Coffee machine.
That is incorrect. It's the telex machine. I'm not even sure what a telex machine is. Is that something they only have in Europe?
Telex machine is...
I remember the line from the song, but I never knew quite what he meant. T-E-L-E-X.
And now I just want to shoot the whole thing down.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.